Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, May 5th. I'm Carrie Klein. A new Kern County program aims to raise awareness about valley fever by enlisting community volunteers.
It is the key to us getting education and awareness out to all Kern County residents.
Today, we learn about the new Kern County Valley Fever Ambassadors Program. But first, these headlines. A man who was shot multiple times by immigration officers in Stanislaus County last month pleaded not guilty to federal charges. Prosecutors accused the man of ramming his vehicle into two agents during a traffic stop on April 7th near the town of Patterson. That's when they opened fire on him. He spent time in the hospital, then was taken into custody by the FBI. The incident marked one of the first known shootings involving ICE in the Valley. The man will be back in court in July. Hundreds of San Joaquin Valley leaders and residents gathered at Fresno State on Sunday for a launch of a new wide-reaching initiative. It's called United San Joaquin. As KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado reports, its mission is to tackle systemic local issues.
The gathering brought together elected leaders, law enforcement, educational institutions, and faith groups. They say they're joining forces primarily to address issues of transportation, housing, and immigration. Dr. Matthew Gendian is the director of humanities at Fresno State and one of the leaders of United San Joaquin.
This evening is one important step in a much longer process of building power and taking action together to better future our families across the Central Valley. We want to create a better future for our children and our children's children.
Roughly 700 people gathered to launch the new organization. It will also be affiliated with the Industrial Areas Foundation. That's one of the oldest networks supporting community-based work in the country. Organizers say their priorities for the Valley were adopted from thousands of conversations with residents. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
Attorney General Rob Bonta filed a motion to block the restart of two California oil pipelines. The Trump administration recently allowed an offshore petroleum company to operate the pipelines. They deliver oil from the waters near Santa Barbara to Kern County. The feds granted approval under an emergency order issued under the Defense Production Act. But Bonta argues the federal move is illegal and can cause, quote, irreparable harm to the environment. The drilling site is the same one where an oil spill broke out in 2015. It cost nearly $100 million to clean up. Regular unleaded gas in California hit an average of $6 a gallon last week, according to AAA. Prices have been rising globally amid tensions involving Iran and disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz, a key route for roughly 20% of the world's oil supply. But Republican state lawmakers say California's gas taxes, the highest in the country, are to blame. Republican State Senator Tony Strickland from the California desert says Californians are seeking relief. His Gas Tax Relief Act failed to pass the Senate Environmental Quality Committee earlier this year.
Well, you talk to Democrats around the state of California, they're very supportive of this issue. So are independents and so are Republicans. This shouldn't be a partisan issue. This should be, what can we do to help hardworking California families?
Democrats argue Strickland's bill would cut billions in funds for climate programs. Strickland says he plans to bring the bill back. A court in San Francisco denied a recent motion by tribal casino owners to intervene in a current lawsuit over new cardroom regulations. The regulations prohibit blackjack-style games and other player-dealer games at state-licensed cardrooms, but not tribal casinos. Advocates with the California Gaming Association say the new regulations put them at a disadvantage over tribal competitors and rejected the attempted tribal casino intervention in the legal fight against the state.
Your news day doesn't have to end after Central Valley Daily. Check out KVPR's broadcast, where you'll get top headlines, in-depth analysis, and some fun pop culture coverage. Stream KVPR online at kvpr.org or through your smart speaker.
And now to our main story. The fungal disease Valley Fever is on the rise in Central California, especially in Kern County. In 2024, nearly 4,000 people there contracted the disease. That's a record high, and the case rate remained nearly as high in 2025. So Kern County's Public Health Department has launched a new Valley Fever Ambassadors program to educate the community. It aims to empower volunteers to raise awareness about the disease and increase access to testing. To learn more about the program, I spoke with Public Health Director Bryn Carrigan. She first gave me an overview of how Valley Fever can affect the body.
So Valley Fever is caused from a fungal spore that resides in the soil and becomes airborne during a windy, dusty day or when somebody disturbs the soil. You then breathe in that fungal spore, and then that's where your infection from Valley Fever comes. Most people don't experience any symptoms at all from Valley Fever, or they experience very mild symptoms, very much like respiratory symptoms that you would see with a cold, the flu. So the cough is what you see, headache, fatigue, but others may experience some more severe symptoms. And then in very rare cases, we do see that Valley Fever can disseminate to other areas of the body, including the brain, bones, joints, skin, other organs. And then in those cases, we see a very severe illness from Valley Fever.
Right. Okay. Well, so the Kern County Health Department, which you lead, just recently launched a Valley Fever Ambassadors Program. Can you tell us more about what this program will look like? How will it work?
Absolutely. I absolutely love this program. It is the key to us getting education and awareness out to all Kern County residents. With a disease that has an impact as big as Valley Fever does in Kern County, it takes more than just our typical marketing and education campaign. It takes more than just putting up a billboard and having a commercial on TV. And it takes more voices than just those within Kern County Public Health. So the Valley Fever Ambassador Program trains the trainer, essentially. So we invite community members to come in and become educated on Valley Fever, and then encourage them to talk to their family, their friends, their coworkers, their neighbors, so that we are expanding the reach of this information so that all Kern County residents are informed about Valley Fever and how to protect themselves from the disease.
So Kern County has long been California's epicenter for Valley Fever. And outreach has long been a focus of your department, not just to the public, but to medical providers too, people in all sectors. So how do you think having these volunteer ambassadors can improve upon, you know, a vast array of public health programs that you've already implemented in the past?
This education can help expand the reach, and therefore residents can advocate for themselves when they go visit their healthcare provider. So they are now informed of what the symptoms are of Valley Fever. They can go to their doctor if their symptoms aren't resolving, and they can ask their doctor to be tested for Valley Fever. So it really helps with the diagnosis of Valley Fever. And then the earlier the diagnosis happens, if treatment is required, the better the treatment will result, and then therefore hopefully have less severe symptoms due to Valley Fever infection.
How many ambassadors are you aiming for with this program? What would be your dream, fleet of people out in the community?
Gosh, that's a hard question. I would say the more the merrier. I mean, we want to encourage as many people as possible to come in and get trained so that they can share the word on Valley Fever. People that have a big reach is super helpful. So people that can speak like from an employee health perspective at their employers, so they can expand the word to their workforce. Those that work in like family resource centers and the library, those that interact with people every day, if they can get educated and then share the word with all those people they come in contact with, that's great. And then just, you know, anybody that resides within the community, come in and get educated so that you can inform your loved ones about the risks of Valley Fever.
Now, I'm sure an early step in the training process is, you know, how to just identify symptoms. Can you talk about, you know, you've talked about how the virus can or how the illness can affect the body. What are some of the very first symptoms that people can look out for and suspect that, hey, maybe I don't have, you know, something else. Maybe I actually have Valley Fever.
The most typical symptom we see is a cough and headache and fatigue. And I mean, those are symptoms that we commonly see with many other illnesses, and they typically, you know, resolve on their own in about a week's time. With Valley Fever, we'll see that the cough lingers a little bit longer than normal. And if you have that lingering cough, we'd recommend that you go to your healthcare provider and ask to be tested for valley fever. Another common symptom that we see with valley fever is a rash. It's typically a slight rash, but could be a more intense rash. It also may self-resolve. So what the important thing to take away from this conversation is that the symptoms of valley fever may vary from person to person, and they may not all be present at the same time. So you need to look out for, did you have a cough and a headache and some fatigue, and then that resolved after, you know, a few weeks, and then you had the onset of a rash, and then that resolved, and then you have the onset of some other symptoms like a headache, like night sweats, like chest pain. If all of these symptoms are happening, but not at the same time, they may be interconnected. So go to your healthcare provider and talk about all the symptoms that you've been experiencing in the recent history so that your healthcare provider can make an educated decision in how to treat you moving forward and ask to be tested for valley fever.
Right. Well, on a personal note, I also understand that you contracted a severe form of valley fever in 2024. Can you share a little bit about your own experience with this illness and then what you take from that as a public health leader?
Absolutely. So I share my story because I think it really highlights the fact that anybody can be impacted by valley fever, and valley fever may be difficult to identify as the cause of why you're so sick. I'm born and raised in California, in Kern County, lived here my entire life. And in 2024, I started to get sick. And it took a while to figure out what was causing my illness, but my illness was not, didn't follow the typical valley fever signs and symptoms. I started with headaches, and those headaches progressively got worse. And then I started to experience a sensitivity to light, fatigue, and then nausea, vomiting set in. And I literally went from a thriving human being in the, probably the best physical shape of my life to practically bedridden over a month's time.
Wow.
I was diagnosed May 2nd of 2024 with Coxey meningitis, or a valley fever infection in the brain. And that really sort of changed my life, honestly, and had a profound impact on my family, my friends, and really made me look at valley fever differently. My story debunks a lot of the myths that are out there. There's a lot of misinformation about valley fever. A lot of people that live in Kern County believe that because they've lived here their whole life, they've likely been exposed to valley fever and they don't have anything to worry about. Well, that's my story highlights the fact that that's not the case. I've lived here my entire life, and at 40 was diagnosed with one of the most severe forms of valley fever. And so I think it just really highlights that our residents need to take prevention seriously when it comes to valley fever and really recognize how severe valley fever could impact their life.
Thank you for sharing that. And I'm so glad that you're doing better. To come back to this ambassador program then, for folks who want to get involved in outreach, if they want to join, how can they do that? And what does the, you know, what does the training process look like moving forward?
Yeah, so our first community ambassador training is going to be held on May 6th at noon. Email valleyfever@kerncounty.com and we'll get you signed up. If that date and time doesn't work for you, we're happy to schedule a date and time that will work for you. So again, reach out at valleyfever@kerncounty.com and we will get you signed up so that you can sit through this 30-minute training and become a valley fever ambassador.
Bryn Carrigan, Director of Kern County Public Health, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Carrie Klein. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.